love. It's beautiful. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for the prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Can we all bow our head for a word of prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Lord, you know, this is for you, Lord. It's for us to understand your word. And Lord, we just ask you that your Holy Spirit will come in and that people will hear what needs to be heard and that it's your message. And I just thank you so much for everything in your precious name. Amen. I'm going to start out biblical or divine love is a sacrificial, caring commitment that shows itself in seeking the highest good for the one being loved. Amen. Well, I'm going to make a little confession here. I'm learning how to copy and paste on my computer. So it's kind of fun, but it's kind of scary. I've read through this. It all kind of lines up several times, so bear with me. Think about this. Think about music. According to the music wisdom of John, Paul, George, and Ringo, all you need is what?
Love.
Love, love, love is all you need. Well, that, and what else do we need? Food? Shelter and air and sleep. Love is literally in the air. You hear that word everywhere. It has been the subject of plays, novels, and poems, debates, discussions by philosophers and artists, intellectuals, and religious scholars throughout the ages. You can't turn on the TV or radio without hearing the word love. And yet, there isn't a more slippery word in the English language. And in my opinion, more misused, we use it to describe how we feel about everything from pizza, ice cream, to our families and friends, to God. We often think of love as some syrupy, sweet, tingly, sensational, ooey, gooey feeling. The late author and cartoon artist James Thunder once wrote, "My pet empathy is the bright detergent voice of the average American singer, male or female, yelling or cooing in cheap, yammering songs about love. Americans are brought up without being able to tell love from sex, lust, Snow White, or Ever After. We think of it as a push-button solution or an instant cure for discontent, and a source, a sure road to happiness. Whatever it is, says Thunder, nothing of the kind." You know, there's a preacher I listen to now and then, and my wife and I, we listen to it he brought out the point of music. And do you ever think of, you know, I know in my younger years I listened to soft rock and what was ever going on in my teenage growing up. And he started pointing out music songs, and it started to hit me. You realize, I think Elton John was the one, "You are my sunshine, you're the," you know, basically the song goes on and how the woman is everything to him. Is that love? No. So we're kind of learn a little bit more of what love is and what Scripture has to say. And the Apostle John wholeheartedly agrees the biblical definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. And the biblical demonstration of love is John, what?
3:16.
Yes. Biblical or divine love is a self-sacrificing, caring, committing that shows itself in commitment that shows itself in seeking the highest good for one being loved. Got that? Biblical love is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment that shows itself in seeking the highest good. Looks like I reprinted it. You see my mistakes already? Anyway, the highest good for one being loved. At its heart, biblical love is a commitment. It is not a commitment without feeling, but a caring commitment. Biblical love involves delight, not just duty. This caring commitment is not just an attitude, but an action. It shows itself in deeds. These deeds often require self-sacrifice, the ultimate demonstration of the kind of self-sacrificing commitment and love was seen at the cross on Calvary. The goal of this kind of commitment is the highest good of the one being loved. And the highest good for any Christian is to be saved and to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, John commands us to love one another and then give us the reason for this command. Because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The apostle gives us the supreme example of the kind of that comes from God. God love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son in the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He goes on to show how love for one another is evident of God's abiding in us and our abiding in him. Verses 12 through 16. And then concludes this section of this letter, but explaining that our love for one another is evident that we are mature in our love for God. Right. Love is from God. Love is from God. Even unbelievers may demonstrate sacrificial love for others. Unbelieving parents often sacrifice love for their children, and unbelieving husbands or wives may practice sacrificial for their mates. Over the cause of their marriage, unbelieving soldiers may lay down their lives for their comrades. What they may not know, but that John knows, that what John wants us to know is that there is loving deeds stem from God's common grace. Whether they know it or not, whether we see genuine biblical love, it did not originate with that person. It came from God, whether an unbeliever acknowledges it or not, or is aware of the fact God is the only source of love in the universe. Amen. Love is not only from God. From God, says John, God is love. Every Christian embraces this concept, but it is often misunderstood and taken the unbiblical extreme. Some Christians misconstrue John's notion that God is love to mean that God overlooks our tolerances. Sin. Some even go so far as to say that God, who is love, could never condemn anyone to such a cruel, unimaginable, honorable place as eternal hell. But the Bible is very clear on this point. God's love does not negate His holy or His justice. Holiness or justice negate His love in chapter 1, verse 5. John states, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. And then describes God as righteous in chapter 2, verse 29. God's holiness and God's righteousness, God's just and God's love are all part of God's nature. No one part negates the other. While it is vital that we affirm and understand that God is love, we must also remember and affirm that God is holy. Amen. That He is righteous and just. God's true children display God's nature. John states in both positively, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And negatively, whoever does not love does not know God. The false teachers were Gnostics who claimed to know God in a secret, deeper sense. But John challenges their claim, saying that they do not know God at all because they do not practice biblical love. Their teachings and their behaviors simply promote self, not Christ. Beloved, says John, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Amen. John's point is that children taken on the characteristics of their parents. If we have been born of God, who is love? And we who come to know Him and to follow Him, then we will act and grow in biblical love. Not one has ever seen God. If we love one another, and God lives in us, and His love is perfect in us, the one who does not love biblically shows that they do not know God. That God does not abide in them. We need to hear this and take this to heart in a serious way. There are many Christians who claim to be born again, to have the love of God in them, but they do not treat others with love. They do not even make an effort to do so. They are angry, unkind, impatient, abusive in their speech, self-centered in their daily lives, and judgmental of others. They separate malice, gossip with great delight, and they are defensive if anyone tries to help them out by pointing out these sins to them. Of such Christians, and I looked up this author, Pastor Martin Lloyd James writes. Are you familiar with? He was an actual Calvinist. I looked him up, and it was kind of interesting, some of us, but anyway. On my heart grieves and bleeds for them. They are pronouncing, a proclaiming, that they are not born of God. They are outside the life of God. There is no hope for such people unless they repent and turn to Him. John says that God sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Christianity is not just a matter of a person deciding to stop certain sinful practices and start to do morally acceptable practices. It is not just a matter of changing from a non-religious person who spends Saturday, or we could even say Sunday, couldn't we? Doing things for themselves, to becoming a regular churchgoer. Rather, at the heart, Christianity is a matter of God imprinting new life to those who are dead in their sins. And that new life manifests itself in loving behavior. So God can create in us a new creature. And we have to believe that He created a new creature, because if we don't believe that He's created a new creature in us, then what does Satan do if we go sin? What does he say? Hey, look at you. God didn't create nothing in you. But we have to keep believing that new creature. We have to believe that Christ created His new creature, His love, His character, His behavior in our life. As born again, people who have experienced God's love, and as true children of God, who has God's love abiding in them? And we should display this love to this wicked world that crucified His Son. No man has ever seen God, says John, but the world has surely seen God's what? Love. For this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a as anointing sacrifice for our sins, a petitionary. Propitiation, thank you. I don't know why I don't want to come out today. Means that what Jesus did on the cross satisfied God's justice. Wow. Stop and think about that for a second. Jesus, it satisfied everything? Wow. And worth toward our sins. His love didn't just brush aside our sins, because His holiness and justice would have been compromised. Rather, His love moved God to send His only Son, who bore the penalty that we rightly deserve. The initiative was totally with God. He didn't wait until we showed promise of change, or until we cried out for help. Rather, as the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Therefore, John concludes, we ought to love one another. The word ought implies an obligation. A comment that love can be commanded shows that it is more primarily a feeling, but rather an action based on our commitment. As I said earlier, love is not devoid of feeling, but it is not based on it. We must love others, or we are being disobedient to God. But there's the problem. Some people are easy. This is the part I don't like right here. Some people are easier to love than others. Oh, man. Excuse me, my nose is running quick here. I think the allergy season's coming. Oh, if everyone was easy to love, we wouldn't need the Bible or the cross. God wouldn't have to command us to love one another, would he? But that's not the case, is it? Hope you guys don't mind. There's a little bit, quite a bit left of this. I might get through it all. I might not. Okay. The world's love. Make sure I got the. It is. The world loves those who love them. But Jesus commanded us to love not only those who love us, but those who don't love us. Boy, that's kind of steps on my toes sometimes. There's some people out there that are kind of mean to me or say things, and it's kind of frustrating at times. But you got to keep loving them. Got to keep showing it. It's hard. I think Alvin knows what that's like, especially when you go to that men's group sometimes, probably. Those who hate and despise us, even as Jesus did. If I may speak hypothetically, okay, you may have a mate who is self-centered and difficult to live with. Don't look at them right now, because you might be surprised to see them looking at you right now. Remember, I said hypothetically. John says, beloved, if God so loved you, you also ought to love that difficult mate. Hypothetically, there may be people in this church who you do not like. Again, don't look at them right now, John says. Beloved, if God so loved you, you ought to love that unlovable person. When you love like this, John says, John, then you are allowing the love of God that abides in you to shine forth. So, how do we do that? How do we love the unlovable? The difficult people in our lives, in our world, we begin by caring for them, caring about them. We begin with simple, selfless care. Oh, and you know what? I look up and there it goes. Bear with me for a second. Unlovable. John says then, okay, selfless care. That's what God is all about. That is what God ultimately is. God is love. The creator of the universe created you, and he created everyone around you. And as our creator, he cares about us, his creation. He cares about you. And believe it or not, he cares about that person you don't care about. So if I'm going to care about that person that I don't care about, then that care is going to have to come from someone other than me. God is love. Remember, and those abide in love abide in God. says John, and God abides in them. Wow. That's a lot to take in, isn't it? It kind of puts a little pressure on us all, doesn't it? I know as I was reading this, I was kind of, wow, you know, this is really pretty serious. Here's where it can get tricky. Love does not mean submitting to the will of others. Real care for others does not always mean doing what the other person wants or demands. It means wise action or inaction. If need be, on the basis of what is best for one, best for the one being loved. So we have to take in consideration, you know, sometimes we've got to make maybe a little checklist or do little things. Maybe we know that person well enough, maybe we don't. We got to think about, you know, sometimes not doing everything for everybody is all right. Sometimes we need a little tough love. I know I do sometimes, and God gives it to me, let me tell you, sometimes. Margaret Hillis, the late director of the Chicago Sympathy Choir, told the story of how she fell into the pond near her home. When she was 4 years old, she nearly drowned. Sinking, she remembered thinking she'd better start doing some thinking, something, and she began welling her arms and her feet. Fortunately, her flailing did the trick and drove her close enough to the shore for her feet to touch bottom. Crawling up on solid ground, already worried about what her punishment would be when her parents found out. She saw her father sitting on the opposite bank. He had made no move to rescue her. So why? You know, we just got reading up here. The tricky part is how do we deal with people? Do we just let them do their thing? Well, let's read on. No move to rescue her. Just as he made no move now to either congratulate her or to take her to task, there was a strong comfort in it. She remembered, he had to let me learn to be dependent on myself. Yet, he was there if I needed him. To truly care is to not, is do not the easy thing, the applauded thing, the wishful thing, she observed, but the wise thing, the right thing. It's tricky to love people sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes we don't, you know, it's especially when you're in a marriage, you're in a relationship. How do we deal with our spouse or our children or our relatives? What about mother-in-laws? Oh, father-in-laws. It's, you know, God made relationships beautiful, and it tries us, and it also teaches us how to depend upon God in that relationship and how to deal with certain situations. Okay. Love, therefore, is not always soft or indulgent. It can mean gentle acceptance of the fallen, but it can also mean driving the money changers out of the temple courts. And this is not to say that caring always means you have to like a person. In order to care for them or take care of them, it's not like the Good Samaritan. In Jesus' parable, Luke 10, 30 through 37, like the person who saw lying on the side of the road. He didn't even know the person. He simply saw an injured man, and he took care of him. I like this next part. C.S. Lewis once said, "Thank God he did not command me to like everybody." Oh my. I may find children or my friend or my colleague or the stranger on the way distantly unlikable. On certain days, given my own tastes and ways. But even if I am turned off by someone, said Lewis, I can still care for him or her as a fellow human being. In fact, he advises one of the realities we need to face and remember is that the person who needs our love and care the most may be the one is particularly unlikable at the moment. Ouch. Love cares and love bears. It bears big time. Love hangs in there. Love stays faithful no matter what. For better or for worse. To love in this way is to suffer one another. Just as God suffered our mistakes, our failures, our sins. Let's say I offend you. In fact, I doubt there. This is I'm not me, but it's somebody else, okay? I don't know that I've been long enough here to offend anybody, but we'll find out afterwards, right? Let's say I offend you. In fact, I doubt there isn't a soul in this room that I haven't offended in some way or another at some point during the year that I've been here. Amen. So let's say that I offend you through some careless or bad temper or whatever. Somehow I've offended you. The result, an injustice has been done, and our relationship has been violated. What can be done about it? Well, there's a lot that can be done about it. Forgiveness. Or, well, you can quit undisturbedly, react by punishing me with your anger and rejection. That's one way. We talked a little bit about the other way. Rejection sucks. I know it's getting late, and I'll finish here shortly. You can strike out and hurt back. But the end result is that we both lose. I lose, you lose your friendship, you lose me and my friendship. We both lose a relationship. And who knows what we could have gained from that relationship down the road. But we'll never know if you or I sever the relationship. Or you can bear the hurt and go on caring about me, the trust ourselves to the love of God. That we see examples and lived out by Jesus is to believe that this is the way God deals with us. He bears with us. He puts up with us. He cares for us. And the redemptive thing for us to do is to bear with one another in love, because the caring that wins in the long run is that care that bears. Love cares, love bears, love shares. Love that cares hangs in there. And if you care and if you bear, sooner or later, you are going to share the pain and suffering of others. It's inviolable. Several years ago, the Columbus Dispatch ran a story about Frank and Mary. Frank was hospitalized and doing very poorly. His wife, Mary, never left his side. Sitting in a chair by the bedside, she tended to his needs. At best, she could. "I'm thirsty," said Frank. Mary lifted the straw to his lips as she pulled his oxygen mask aside. The medicine was making him sick. She fetched the basin, wrapped a firm arm around his asbestos wrap shoulder, and mopped sweat from his forehead. So, in the end, love comes down to this: a squeeze of the hand that says, "I am here." Isn't that what Jesus does? "I'm here." No matter how long the struggle, water, the whispering lovingly, "You need water? Here, drink. Let me straighten your pillow." Now, who is hurting most in this picture? Hard to say, isn't it? But that is what love is all about. Sharing the highs, the lows, the victories, the defeats, the excitement, the boredom, the joy, the sorrows, overindulged addicts, addicted to our own pleasure and comfort, inclined to believe in and seek easy answers. We have little tolerance for the pain and struggles of others, little patience for the hard way of real love. Biblical love. It's hard. But it's also easy if we let God in our heart. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfect in us. Well, it is true that people see the love of God in us and receive the love of God from us through our actions as individual Christians. There is an equal important way for God to show His love to the world, and that's through His church. The body of believers, for it is through the church that people get to see God. I made it. It's a little past. Thank you. I thought it was just a beautiful message. You know, I know I'm not good at it, but I want God's love, and I want to be able to show people. And that's the important thing of the whole message, of the whole scripture. And this church here is to serve other people.
That's right.
And I know I keep asking Him to help me be better at it. And that's all we all can do. And can we bow our... Oh, what's the closing... Okay, let's just bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank You so much. Thank You that You gave me the time to finish this beautiful message. Be with us all. Help us to remember that everything is about Your love, God, and what You did on the cross for us. And I thank You so much for everything. All the goods, the bads, the ups and downs, the commitments to stay, the commitments to go. Lord, keep us safe in all our travels this week that's coming up. And we just ask this in Your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.